This morning, Pastor Carter in his message asked a real interesting question. He said, are you still carrying the old value system? And so I said, Lord, I just want to share with them this afternoon about a new value system. Because I think we always have to question what it is God is having us do and where God is taking us. I'm going to be reading out of the book of Matthew, just a few quick scriptures. It's Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 44, 45, and 46. And this is Jesus speaking. And what he's basically has been talking to the people in a parable. And he says in verse 44 of Matthew Gospel, the 13th chapter, he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. So when I talk about a new value system, this obviously refers to something that was quite valuable, and it motivates somebody to give all that they have for that. See, a value system or value is simply the degree of importance that you place on something. The degree of importance of how you set your priorities. Your own value system is what will shape your attitude and therefore your behavior. And your value system is encased within you, and it's through your lens of how you view life. And you determine what is valuable. You determine where your priorities are going to reside. And Jesus is saying that when there's something of greater value, of great value, are you willing to give all that you have? And so I want to ask the question, even before we close, is how does God define value? Does he value us? Why does he value us? I would submit to you that he values us more than anything else in the world. That's why he came and died for us and rose from the dead, because we were that important. It's not like keeping the sun and the moon aligned or the planetary alignment and the trees growing and things like that. God did that, but he already spoke to them and they obey. So he's not worried about that. He's worried about those of us who run around, sometimes we're like herding cats. He's trying to get us to listen to what he has to say. And are we willing, in fact, to consider changing our value system? And again, what do you think is important? I'll never forget the day I got my first car. This was, to me, the pearl. Although it was a seven-year-old vehicle that was driven hard for 7 years. It was anything but a pearl, but it was mine. And I saved up. I dreamt about this car. I worked my mom and dad over it until I could finally get this car. I put everything I could into it, all of my savings, all of my part-time earnings that I would take while going to school to try to get this car. So it shaped my whole attitude and my behavior. And so anything that you consider to be valuable is going to shape your attitude and therefore your behavior. As I proceeded on in life, I simply began to try to reach out and say, what is life really all about? I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but I saw values in my family that were placed on certain things that led to a lot of dysfunction in family. Therefore, it led to a lot of dysfunction in my life. I was not a Christian. We didn't go to church. We didn't know what the gospel was. And in fact, the first time I heard the gospel was as a sophomore in college, and I was coming out of the student center, and somebody with a big Bible with Smile Jesus Loves You sticker on the front was handing out Bible tracts. And I took this Bible tract and I read it and I go, well, what's this all about? I mean, I'd kind of heard through I think it was an Elton John song that said, God is dead. And this is saying that he's alive. What is this all about? And so I take this short Bible tract home, And my roommate picks it up off the table and he goes, "Where'd you get this?" I said, "Well, I got it at the student center." And it says John 3:16 right on the front. It says, "For God so loved the world." Now, I didn't know what that meant at that time. I didn't know what John was, didn't know what the Bible was. But there was this scripture. And he says, "Well, I know what that is. I'm a Christian." And I look at my roommate and I go, "You are?" See, his attitude and behavior was identical to mine. I partied all the time. There was nothing moral about my life, nor was there anything moral about his life. So he quoted the scripture, and I go, "Wow, you really are a Christian?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, I got saved when I was 13, and we're like 19 at the time. And so he began to share with me a little bit of the gospel as we're getting high. And I'm just kind of thinking, there's something wrong with this picture. So you mean all I have to do is say this prayer, and I keep living the life I'm living?" "Yes." I go, "Well, why wouldn't I want that? So I can have eternal security, but keep living the life that I'm living." Somehow, something inside of me began to churn and go, "Not so fast. It's not that way." And for the next several months, I just began to think about what this Bible tract was all about, what it was trying to tell me about who I was. And myself and my roommate began to just drift farther and farther apart because I was really asking some of these questions. Well, he didn't want to respond anymore. Obviously, I know now that was a backslidden Christian under conviction, because here's somebody who didn't know God, was seeking to know answers to what this life is all about. And I just began to really cry out to God. And finally, my older brother got saved and his life underwent a major transformation. I said, "Well, there must be something to this." So sure enough, one night, somebody was preaching the gospel on the radio. And I heard the message, and it said, "If any man will open the door, I will come in and I will have communion with him. I will have dinner with him. I will sup with him. I stand at the door and knock." And I just said, "Lord, is now the time?" I begin to feel sweaty in my palms. I begin to feel this was going to be a momentous decision in my life. And I said the sinner's prayer. I didn't feel anything. Like Pastor Carter was sharing this morning, although I knew something had happened, but I didn't feel any dramatic change in my life. Until a few weeks later, I had still continued to try to do the things that I was doing. And I was on an airplane traveling overseas. My parents lived overseas at the time, and I was here in the States going to school. And I was on my plane, and they gave me a Bible, and they just said, just start with the New Testament. So I'm sitting on the airplane. I still smoked. I still drank. I'm reading this New Testament going, "Wow, this is really cool." And I'm nudging the guy next to me. I said, have you read this? Do you know what this is all about? As I'm blowing smoke all over him. And that's when I realized something in my life had to change. I got onto the book of John, and I just want to read to you quickly about a story that I was reading. And I begin to cry this out in my heart, "Lord, is this me? Can this be me?" And in the book of John, in the 6th chapter, it just simply says, now read it. It says, "Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?'" So he's asked his disciple, "Where shall we buy bread?" But he said this to test him, for he knew what he would do. And Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient to feed them." Now Jesus asked him, "Where shall we buy bread?" Philip immediately goes into a financial analysis of the cost of bread. That wasn't his question. And I'm going, well, maybe that's me. Maybe I kind of jump around like that. God's asking me a direct question. Am I willing to give up something in my life? And then Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother, and I go, okay, who is he? Said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish." But my first reaction was, he didn't ask Andrew anything. Andrew just kind of stuck his nose into the conversation. and he offers up somebody else's lunch. So here's this little boy who walks up and he has just simply 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. And as I was reading this, it was actually the first time that the Word of God actually leapt off the page, jumped right into my heart and go, that's you. And I said, but Lord, my 5 pieces of bread are just failure. It's stubbornness, it's rebellion, it's anger, it's lust. And the only 2 fish I have is 2 prayers. Jesus, help me. And the second prayer, Jesus, help me. I said, God, that's all I have. I only have failure. I only have this and this prayer that just says, Jesus, help me. And everything that I've tried to learn over the last 2 weeks as a born-again Christian, I can't do. I need help. I need help from heaven. And just as this little boy, Jesus took this little offering, this insignificant, and the boy represents weakness. And God was beginning to speak in my heart, if you'll be vulnerable, if you'll just be weak to me, forget your strengths and all your skills, I can take weakness and make you usable. Not your strengths, not anything that you have, but I can make you usable. Because in the heart of God, it says, can we be used for the benefit of others? I was so selfish, and it was all about me and what I could do and where was I headed? I had no background in Christianity. I was just like a nose following its nose. I mean, a dog following its nose. I just didn't know where to go. But all of a sudden, I began to cry out, God, can you actually do this? Is this possible that you could change this dark heart? Could you do this? And he began to declare to me in my own spirit that what I call impossible, I can do in you. What you call impossible, I can do in you. I don't like mac and cheese, but God may give me the desire for it. That would be a miracle. But God is saying, what you call impossible, I can do. I can change you from the inside out and give you something you've never had and take you places where you could never go on your own. And it's called being born again and truly being saved. And I just began, I was reading the word and I said, oh God, help me, help me, help me. I'm in the midst of failure. I'm in the midst of all this struggle. I'm confused. Will you help me? And as sure as I'm standing here and God is my witness, he flooded my room with light. And as light began to just come in, I don't know if I was seeing in the spirit or not, but I began to feel something just well up inside of me. And all of a sudden, there was revelation knowledge that he is alive. He is alive. He is alive. I knew he was alive. And I didn't know anything else other than to take that knowledge and go find somebody to tell them that Jesus is alive. I was like, do you understand that he's alive? And of course, this individual says, I don't speak English. I was in Manila in the Philippines at the time. I went down at 3 o'clock in the morning. I found the bellboy and I said, do you understand that he is alive? I don't speak English. So the desk manager comes over and I said, do you speak English? He said, yes. I said, do you know he's alive? Jesus Christ is alive. He reigns. He rules. He is alive today and he's willing to give you eternal life. You'll just simply ask him. And miracles just began to just my heart began to change. I knew that God had done something in me that forever my life would change. And that's what I want to just encourage you, that you ask the question, are you more valuable? Are you more valuable than anything? Jesus said that you're more valuable than the 2 sparrows. Yes, I'm going to watch them fall to the ground, but you're more valuable than that. A simple coin would buy 2 sparrows to a poor man, but I see it. He also knew the heart that said, I need this, I need that, I need to clothe myself, I need to feed my children, I need to educate my family, I need to work, I need to pay the bills. And he says, I know that, and your father knows that. But if you'll just seek first his kingdom and ask God to help you and all of his righteousness, all of these things will be added to you. Folks, I'm testimony to that. I know that God has added to me on things I never would have deserved. Even the honor to stand in front of you today to talk about a new value system. So I just simply like to ask, how do you define value? How do you define what is valuable in your life? Perhaps you need a change in a value system. Perhaps you need God to reprioritize your value. Maybe it's just reprioritize, God, what is important to me? On this day in particular, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, those who are born again are going to live forever with him because he is alive. Do you believe that? He's alive. I'd like you to stand, please. I would just simply like to offer you an opportunity to answer a question. And the question is a cry in your heart. Oh God, help me. Does my value system need to change? Will I let you reprioritize what's important in my life? I want my attitude right. I want my behavior right. I would just like to simply open up the altar before I turn it over to Pastor Carter. I'd like to open up this altar so we can pray. Somebody prayed for me the night I got saved. God visited me the night I got filled full of the Holy Spirit. God has continued to answer prayer. And God will answer your prayer now. Would you be willing to come and just say, God, I need a new value system. There may be some in the house today that came. Maybe this is the first time you've come to church this year. Maybe the only time. Maybe you're like me. You're not raised as a Christian. Maybe you have been raised as a Christian and you've walked away from God. We just want to give you an opportunity to say, Jesus, help me. Help me. Would you come as they play? Would you just simply come? We're going to pray for you. And I'm believing in my heart of hearts that you'll walk away from this front of this sanctuary a changed person forever, forever. And you'll be shouting, he is alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive and he's right here. He's alive, folks. He can't be denied. Jesus Christ is alive. One day we'll all confess to the glory of God the Father, that Jesus Christ is Lord. All of us will confess that. All of us will have to confess that. Do it on this side. Amen? Will you come? Come, please, come on. We'll wait for you. Just come on down. Thank you. God bless you. Just come and pray. Come pray. God is going to give you a new value system. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. The song says, I give myself away. I give myself to Jesus Christ. I give myself away. I put my life into your hands. Will you just simply pray after me? Oh God, I surrender my life today. I believe in my heart that you died for me on the cross of Calvary. And on the third day you rose from the dead. And I stand in this church today and make a public confession of my faith. And I ask that Jesus Christ, the pearl of great price, take over my life. From this day forward, my heart's desire is a new life in Jesus Christ. Praise God.